Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shachtin Blog Talk Radio Show. On every day of the week, I do the 6:30, 8, 9:30, or 11, or 10. Whatever time I fix it, I'm on the air for you. And this show, I want to tell you a little about the subject of this show. They are literary. I'm a great fan of English, American, Russian, French, and German literature. And I think you should know that. Many of my blogs have been the subject of those great writers of the past, such as John Milton, one of my all-time favorites, and E.M. Forster, and others of equal ability and reputation. I'm a great fan of the literature, and this show sometimes revolves around that. Another aspect of this show, it has a theological, it emphasizes the biblical revelation, and this show is a biblically and Christian-oriented show, and I myself have a degree in theology from Princeton Seminary, an MDiv, and it's in biblical languages and studies and theology, and I'm very much enamored of theology and Christian thinking in every way, 100%. And so this show revolves around theology and biblical revelation and biblical thought and the thought of the Gospels and Christ as he presents himself to us in the Gospels. The show also has a political element. I'm generally conservative, but I also follow Christ in my concern for the poor and underclass. I have a great enamored of the of people in poverty. Jesus himself took on poverty and was poor, and the people he chose to be with him were working-class poor people. So what the show is about. I'd like to give you a little insight as to the background of the show. This is a politically incorrect show. Not politically correct. We're not in for media hype, media falsehood, media lies, none of those things. We're in to get honesty and truth and honest discernment and critical thinking to get at the truth and the facts. This show is about truth and facts and honest discernment and critical thought. It is not about media hype, political rhetoric, and falsehoods and political falsehoods. We're not interested in that in this show, and we're not into that in the least in this show. Those are lies, and we're not into lies. We are into truth in this show. The show also has a Christian orientation, and we believe in the full creeds of the Church, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed, and we also uphold the full truth of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation 100%. And if we read a book, if I read a book, I read John Calvin Institutes, I read Luther's works, I read E.M. Forster, I read John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, I read T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, and G.K. Chesterton, and John Milton, of course. He's one of my favorites, the author of Paradise Lost, who wrote these Paradise Regained, and Thebes and Echinistes, who wrote these great, great works, these powerful works, while in a state of blindness and personal darkness. That was the greatness of his mind that was able to overcome his blindness and write these very great works. Paradise Lost is a great work because Milton decided that the cosmic event of history occurred in the Garden of Eden when man fell into sin. It's obvious there is a big problem in the world today, and that story accounts for it very exactly and completely. It's not a joke. It's the truth, and it accounts for the terrible mess this world is in, which is taken over by sin, according to Genesis 2, for want of a better word. Second of all, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. These have a Christian orientation, but they have many visitors from many countries all over the world, particularly Muslim countries. I love my dear Muslim brothers and sisters to dialogue with them in these shows. They're wonderful. I love to dialogue with any person of differing opinions because I'm willing to listen. and I welcome all religions, all faiths, all persons, all races, all nations, all peoples into these shows. Christian shows, yes, but I'm determined to dialogue with all faiths and beliefs and ideas and opinions. Second of all, I have written 10 books, Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables. In fact, the Backwoods book analyzes the 41 parables in the Gospel, and the parables are the words of Jesus, and they are very, very, very significant. Every word of Christ has to be understood and absorbed and grasped, if you can grasp it. It takes many years to get at the truth of the biblical revelation of Christ. Very difficult. But it is a challenge, and the Gospels are a challenge, and the parables are a great challenge. They are warnings. They are advice of our Lord, and we should pay great attention to these parables as I analyze them in my book, The Parables of Jesus. I also have written a book on the Psalms lately, an analysis of 150 Psalms. This book, I think, is quite interesting. The Psalms are spiritual food. They stir me. They inspire me. They move me 100%. To read the Psalms is to be moved spiritually. They are great Hebrew lyric poetry. I read them in seminary in Hebrew, and I read them in English when I was in Sunday school. 12, 13, 14 years old, and memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm at that time. I never regret it. It was a wonderful experience. And John Donne, the great Anglican poet, said of the Psalms that they are the manna of the church. The Psalms are something you cannot miss. They are so, so great in beauty, in thinking, in direction, in thought. I also am writing 3 blog books of my blogs, literary, philosophical, theological, and political blogs. I'm writing 3 books for those blogs, compiling them. I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've started it. Someday I'll complete it. And I'm writing a book on the book of Job, a great book. Job was an Edomite, and this book presents his trials that God put upon him. It's a wonderful book. It's a great book. And you should read it. To read Job, read any book of the Bible, is to be lifted and raised beyond what we are in our ordinary lives. Job has raised me, I could tell you that. And Milton has raised me. And Tolstoy has raised me. All these books have raised me up from my paltry humanity that I occupy in this world. I've written also 3 articles on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure and on Academicus, a Albanian scientific journal. These books have been bought by the State Department and in one instance by the United States Supreme Court and by many, many libraries, North American, South American, African, Asian, and all kinds of libraries throughout the world have bought these books. Now, tonight I'm going to talk about one of the parables. Parables are very, very profound and require a great deal of attention to understand them. Jesus says in Matthew 13, 47-50, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind when it was full, and drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into vessels but threw away the bad. Then he says, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. Their men will weep and gnash their teeth. Well, this is quite a message to give us. He says the heaven, or Christ, or God, is like a net thrown into the sea, which gathers every sort of person. And when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the goods. And the key is they sort the good into vessels, but throw away the bad. The bad or the evil. Bad are the people in sin. And then he says it'll be like this at the end of the age. There will be a separation. This is some bad news, I think. It's sad news, but he gives us everybody this news, and angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous. And he says the evil, this is the terrible, terrible message in this parable, be thrown into the furnace of fire where men will weep and gnash their teeth. The parable is thought to be addressed to the disciples. In this parable, the kingdom of God, or his outreach to the world, is for all men of every race, religion, and background. It's for everybody. Like it says, that it's like a net thrown in the sea. He gathers about or reaches out to everyone. But then Jesus says that despite his wish and desire that all men be saved and have eternal life and joy with him, there will come a time for separation. This is the bad news about this parable. He says, in this parable, the kingdom of God, or Christ's outreach to the world, is to all men and women of every race, religion, and background. It's for everybody. Like it's a net thrown into the sea and gathers a fish of every kind. And then Jesus gathers or reaches out to everyone, but then says that despite his wish and desire that all men be saved and have eternal life and joy with him, he wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be with him. And so the net is thrown into the sea, and evil and good are gathered into vessels, but the bad are thrown away. And then Jesus says there comes a time in this net where all kinds of people are gathered up, and that God wishes all men be saved and have eternal life and joy with him. There'll come a time for separation. Prior to this, he says separation. He says the good are mixed with the bad. But then, this is the bad news. The good are mixed with the bad in time. But Jesus says that in God's time, in judgment, this is very, very bad news for all of us. In God's time in judgment, the evil will be separated from the good and righteous, and then evil men and hypocrites will be separated from the people who have made good use of their lives. So the bad will be separated from the good and righteous, and the evil will be separated from people who have made good of their lives. And he says the evildoers, this is the bad news, the evil may be separated, but they are thrown into the furnace of fire. Jesus and God cast a wide net, according to this parable, and wish that all men be saved. He does want everybody to be with him. He's willing to give them a last moment of grace to repentance before they die. And he says that, but then ultimately, he gives them a last-minute repentance before they die. But ultimately, he says, at the end, there will be a final judgment, and it will be God's judgment, not ours. And the evil will be condemned to a furnace of fire where they will weep and gnash their teeth. They will weep and gnash their teeth, not so much for physical suffering that they will endure in the furnace of fire. I think the furnace of fire and physical suffering is an analogy, but they will weep and the evil will be separated and be cast into loneliness and separation from love. That's their fate, not suffering in a fire. That's an analogy. It's not a matter of physical suffering. But the evil will weep and gnash their teeth in their loneliness and separation from love and the joy of eternal communion and eternal life with God and Christ. They will weep and gnash their teeth in their loneliness, their separation from love and the joy of eternal life with God and Christ. They will be condemned to weep and gnash their teeth, looking at the reward of the good, knowing their fate to be alone and separated without love. That's the key. They will be alone. Being in a furnace of fire is an analogy. They will weep and gnash their teeth in their loneliness and separation from love and the joy of eternal communion and eternal life. They will be condemned to weep and gnash their teeth, gazing at the reward of the good and knowing their fate to be alone and without love. They will surely know that there is no place safer from love than hell and condemnation. There is no place safer from love than hell and condemnation, as love is only found in the presence of God and in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So the key is this furnace of fire, the separation. Yes, there'll be a separation. The separation is casting the evildoers to loneliness and separation and being without love and Christ. They will be condemned to weep and gnash their teeth, looking at the reward of the good and knowing their fate to be alone and separated without love. They will surely know at this point there is no place safer from love than hell and condemnation. This love is only found in the presence of God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk about the parable of the Seeing Dead. I think it's quite a fascinating parable. I think you should take a look at it in Matthew 13:47-50, and you'll find it in chapter 15 of my book on the parables. I think you should think about it. I think you should give it some thought, and give it a lot of thought. Every word of Jesus is the thoughts of the mind of God, and they challenge us tremendously in His thinking. And we cannot escape the depth of His thinking in the parables. And in this parable, the parable of the Seeing Dead, I ask you to read it in Matthew 13:47-50 and read chapter 15 of my book. Thank you very much.